Welcome to Sight to the Blind. Take a seat, grab your coffee, your wine, your tequila, or what have you. Even your brunch mimosas. Because you know when I'm about to go in, I take away the intro music. I don't know if I'm in the mood or I'm just in the ruach. But some events happened previously in the last couple of hours that set me on this path. So I want to continue with what I was talking about in my last episode, which were my favorite verses. And what I found was all the examples or witnesses and testimony of the Most High not rapturing away or taking up anybody that was in a particular religion. I have not read not one person from Islam that was taken up. I have not read not one person from Judaism that was taken up. I have not read not one person from Christianity that was taken up. I am working with one testimony. I'm working with a couple of testimonies, but I'm working with one point, which is the people that the Most High decided to take up were never in a religion. I dare go even further, that they were all black. I dare to even go further than that, that most of them, all but one, were Israelites.
Now, what I'm trying to say is not that only Israelites or only black folk are going to make it into the kingdom. That's absurd. But what I'm telling you is that we are the bar. We are the expectation. And it does not get lowered. If we are his chosen, that means the bar never moves. And as you see in books of Deuteronomy, he didn't move the bar in order to appease his inheritance. Psalms 147. 19 and 20, he shows his word unto Yaakov, his statutes and his judgments unto Yisrael. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known them. That means no one all these years have known his judgments, his righteousness, his Torah. Some of you Gentiles haven't experienced captivity for more than one generation. You haven't experienced total destruction. So what I'm saying is our awakening, our calling is completely different from everybody else's. The Most High selected only Israelites, only Levites to be taken up, because that's their inheritance with the Most High. He didn't make a covenant with any of the Gentiles. He didn't make them Levites. So he has his own way. If you upset about how he does his ways, you should talk to him about it. But I'm saying that this is the bar. So you can't look to, oh, let me look to Billy Graham. Let me look to 19 Keys. Let me look to all these other people who are not of the, who aren't pushing this truth, who aren't in this nation. The examples in scripture. If you want to know how to make it into the kingdom, all you have to do is go into the books of the prophets. It's already guaranteed that they're in. Yochanan 11, the back of what I said in Psalms 147. Yochanan or John 11, 51 and 52. And this spoke he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yahushua should die for that nation. It don't say for everybody. It says for that nation first, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Elohim that were scattered abroad. We were scattered, and we are still scattered to this day. So why would the rest of the world need a savior if they haven't been through what we've been through? Now, you're lucky enough to be a Gentile where you didn't have to face destruction after destruction or captivity after captivity. But the examples are still there. We still are the bar. And it doesn't get lowered. You saw when we went into captivity for 400 years. The bar didn't get lowered, regardless of how many religions we went in and out of. That bar never moved. When he said you're going to do 400, you're going to do 400. I don't care Juneteenth coming up and all that. It don't matter. We were still in captivity. And then the 13th Amendment allowed slavery to continue in the jail system or the penal system. So nothing truly changed. we still was trodden down. It's not by man we were set free. It's by the Most High we were set free and awakened.
Let's go to Jasher 3. Enoch, and it was upon the seventh day that Enoch ascended into heaven in a whirlwind with horses and chariots of fire. Was Enoch part of a religion? Was not Enoch righteous? Did not Enoch rule over the sons of men as a king all his days? Wasn't he the one that they came for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Did Enoch paint an idol of the opposite race, worship it, create pagan rituals, and adhere to a different doctrine other than what he was told to, by Yahuwah? No, he did not. But he was taken up. Fourth book of Ezra and the Sefer, chapter 8, verse 19. Therefore, hear my voice and understand my words, and I shall speak before you. This is the beginning of the words of Ezra, before he was taken up. Was Ezra a part of any religion, Islam, Judaism, or Christianity? No, he was not. Was Ezra an Israelite? Yes, he was. Was he a Levite? Yes, he was. Did Ezra preach any other doctrine that wasn't given to him by Yahuwah? No, he did not. Because if he did, he would not have been taken up alive, raptured, if that makes you feel better. Let's go to 2 Kings, verse 1. And it came to pass when Yahuwah would take up Eliyahu into heaven by a whirlwind. Was Eliyahu a Christian, Muslim, or a practitioner of Judaism? No, he was not. Was he an Israelite? Yes, he was. Was he a Levite? Yes, he was. Was Eliyahu righteous in shaming the prophets of Baal? Yes, he was. Did he call on Yahuwah and Yahuwah answered him? When he shamed the prophets of Baal of setting fire to the altar? So right now, let me stop here. So right now, what is the example that the Most High has given us before Yahushua even came into this world? What is the example it being set right now? What is the bar being set at? The bar seems to me that if you follow law, statutes, commandments, do his judgments, you will be in heaven. You will be up there with the prophets. The prophets who are in a religion. The prophets who didn't do unholy pagan feast days. The prophets who hated idolatry. The prophets who did not want to be a part of this world. That's what the testimony and the witnesses are showing me. I don't know what it's showing you, but that's what it's showing me. Luke 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim and yourselves thrust out. Was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob idol worshipers? Did they participate in the nations around them, their feast days, their religions, their statutes, and their commandments? If you read enough scriptures, you would know that they didn't. Were they tried as gold is tried? Yes, I would say they were. If you read the books of Jasher and Jubilees, you will get enough understanding to know that they were tried with people that are around them, that they hated idols, that they hated any other religions, that did not show true praise to the Most High. That is why they are mentioned in heaven. This is before judgment even sets in. What Yahusha is saying, they are already in heaven to him because they walk righteously, because they were obedient to Yah. They weren't obedient to the world. They weren't out here trying to mingle in and and be practitioners of the foolishness of their day. They stumbled, yes, but they stumbled in a way that had nothing to do with the other nations. But they're told that they're already in heaven. So if you are in a religion and listening to me, or coming out of a religion, tell me, or as a matter of fact, don't even tell me. Contemplate this in your own mind. Who in your religion is described as being taken up? And I'm not telling you to go to the KJV, the NIV, the LIV, the MIC, KEY, MOUSC. I'm not telling you to go through the watered down versions of scripture so you can find words that will appease whatever religion that you're in. I'm asking you to actually use some real discernment. What is the book about? Who is the book about? Start there. Who was given these promises? And what will it take for you to be grafted into these promises? What is the foundation or the root of the promise? Who was given this promise? When did it change? Or when do you think it changed from a very pure and truthful promise, or the foundation of that promise, to something that's watered down by a nation he has hated and stated that he has hated? Since when do religion hold so much power over the word of Yah? This has always been the issue. This has always been the problem since day one. This is why the Most High, after Nimrod has said, before Nimrod, I have repented for making man. Repented for having to make us. Because all of our deeds, all of our actions are not in truth, but in wickedness. Because we try to merge and graft and make things appeasing to us whilst trying to stay in truth. We like to merge things in this walk to make it appease to our flesh. That we think we can do the world and do Yah at the same time. And this is something I'm struggling with right now. Not me personally, but trying to explain that there has to be some sacrifice and some loyalty shown in the opportunities given to you to show Yah that you are righteous enough and loyal to enough to obey his word. If you are loyal to friendships or loyal to unholy friendships, you are not walking in the same ruach as everybody else who's trying to leave this world and its relationships. The word talks about almost every individual thing in this world that people can't let go of. I don't care if it's nightlife. I don't care if it's friends in nightlife. I don't care if it's friends that always want to party, drink, smoke, fornicate, steal, rob, murder, joke around, vanity, it doesn't matter. It's all in scripture. Let's go to one of my favorite verses, or chapters really. Second Baruch chapter 44, we'll start at verse 4 and go down to 8. For ye see that he whom we serve is just, and our creator is no respecter of persons. If he don't respect people or have no respect of people who are unrighteous or unholy, it doesn't matter what you think you are. If people created religion, why would he respect something that people has made that muddles, waters down his truth? You think Yah needs us? It's the other way around. As you've seen, he wiped the slate completely clean in the flood, which shows he only cared about one family. And that one family was based on one man. One man. The Most High is showing you I can create a population. I can create a whole entire world of the multitude using one family. What makes you think he can't do that again? What makes you think you're so special? That him watching you trying to muddle his word or muddle this walk with the world, that he can't take you out of it if it's disrupting somebody else's ruach, if it's disrupting somebody else's walk. And see ye what has befallen Zion and what has happened to Jerusalem. For the judgment of Elohim shall thereby be made known, and his ways, which though past finding out, are right. For if ye endure and persevere in his fear, and do not forget his Torah, the time shall change over you for good, and ye shall see the consolation or the comfort of Zion. Because whatever is now is nothing, but that which shall be is very great. For everything that is corruptible shall pass away, and everything that dies shall depart, and all the present time shall be forgotten. That means this new world that's coming, religion won't be there. So it's to me, when I think about when he says there will be nobody to teach the word of Yah or to know Yah, because you will know him. As I said before in the last episode, it means it won't be religion. It won't be an excuse why you can't learn him. You won't have any other options. So why cleave to something that's going to be wiped away clean? Why cleave to a doctrine that don't mean nothing? Galatians chapter 1, 10 through 12. For do I not persuade men or Elohim, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Mashiach. And right now I'm bumping heads with Christians. I love bumping heads with Christians in TikTok because they don't have the real attention needed to understand scripture. But they read it the same. So it's no excuse for them on their day of judgment why they couldn't turn from out of their religion. So when the Most High say, okay, why do you think you believe you being you deserve to be in heaven? And they'll tell, I did this for you. I did this for you. Well, my servant here has tried to tell you that you shouldn't do these unholy feast days and pagan days. Didn't he? What would be their excuse? They wouldn't have none. That's why it says in certain scriptures, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when they are thrust out. They will have no excuse. They will have no place for repentance, no place for the righteous to pray for them or intercede on their behalf for their favor. It'd be done. But I certify you, brethren, that the Besorah which was preached of me is not after man. And as much religious zealots or the churchianity folk love to bring up Romans and Galatians and Corinthians, they miss this one important part of Paul's doctrine or Paul's word. He says, the Besorah which was preached of me is not after man. That means Christianity was made by man. Islam was made by man. Judaism made by man. And all the New Age spirituality in between that. Made by man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yahushua HaMashiach. This is the ammo. That when you get in these conflicts and conversations with people who are in religions, this is the ammo needed for you to shut them up, basically. And watch them foam at the mouth and watch them try to dig around whatever scriptures they can find, but it won't compete to certain parts of scripture that really lays it out for them. So they can't say, oh, no, he mean it this way. Oh, no, he was talking about this people. No, it's none of that down here. Yeshayahu 41, you could use this one. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. you shall seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with you, they that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, Yahuwah Elohaka, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. That's beautiful. You don't need any validation to be right or wrong. You don't need any more validation after you lay scriptures online and telling people exactly how this walk is supposed to be. You don't need it. This verse gives you everything. And while I'm on that, wouldn't you want to know, or see, when you get in, you're in this walk long enough, I start daydreaming about Yah. What is it like to have his embrace, a physical embrace? Because we'll feel the spiritual embrace, but what would it be like for him to give you a pat on the back? A hug, a kiss on the cheek. What would that feel like? That's what I daydream about. When I'm in this walk, I'm heavily grounded. That's where my mind goes. How do I love a man I have never seen or met, but only felt through the Ruach? What would that truly feel like to actually meet this man? And for him to tell you, job well done. I don't know about you, but I'd probably buckle. I'd probably fall. I'd probably do exactly what those prophets did when they had a chance to see him or knew they were going to meet him one day, that they fell to their knees. And the angels had to be like constantly telling me, oh, stand up. Get up. Be strong. If you read the book of Ezra and Baruch, they both were told to do fast and pray. And the things that they were given, the revelations that were sent to them, it buckled them. So I know I would buckle under the weight of the Most High telling me, good job. That should be our goal. That should be what we look to. That's what Paul meant by our kingdom is not of this world. We should focus on the heavenly things. But people want to focus on foolishness. They want to sacrifice the forever immortality for 10 to 15 minutes of pleasure. Isn't that what hedonism is? Isn't what hedon means? Hedon, which is a unit of pleasure that could be measured through happiness. I learned that the other day just watching an old TV show called American Gods. And it was just a scene that these two men had on their helmets, on their biker helmets, hedon. And I looked up hedon meaning, and that's exactly what it means. It's a unit of pleasure. So how many units of pleasure are you willing to give and get in order to be disqualified, disqualified from his promise? We don't, as children of the Most High, we do not see the full picture at all. We only see half of it. And if our flesh is clouded, our discernment and judgment, we only see a quarter of it. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I love this one. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than the lovers of Elohim, having a form of holiness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've talked about this before when I said people are out trying to outlearn scripture, outlearn prophecy, outlearn the word. So they invest themselves and all types of worldly knowledge that mean absolutely nothing, that's going to take you round and round and round and around. Before people woke up, let's get into the Book of Mormon. Then that ran its course. Then it was, okay, let's look at all the places in America that's named after biblical names and start saying and producing doctrines and videos and information about this being the real promised land, that the transatlantic slave trade didn't happen. That ran its course. Then it was, let's predict when Yahushua's coming back by zodiac signs. That ran its course. Let's read all the magical books of Freemasonry and Manly P. Hall for understanding. That, at one point, ran its course. Oh, let's get into Gilgamesh, the Anunnaki, Sumerian texts that nobody can read. The Book of the Dead, the Egyptian mystery schools. Let's get into that. And that ran its course, or it's still running its course. Because Billy Carson's still trying to keep that alive on four or five platforms with four or five pages on each platform. You don't ever see him being shadow banned. I mean, one, he's a Freemason, but you don't see him being shadow banned. Four or five pages on Instagram producing garbage, mixing tiny bit truths, and then all of it just lies, blatant lies. But people eat it up. Millions and millions of followers, millions of views and likes. But people are searching away from scripture, searching away from their own ignorance when it comes to the word of following Yahuwah. The Most High is very simple and basic. But people think it's got to be something more of this life and this universe other than these commandments, these statutes. People want to invest in all these mystery schools to learn about what? To be your own God, to be your own light, to travel in 5D, 6D, 7D, all these different dimensions your ass can't go when they start taking away your monetary services. When you can't go nowhere when they start taking away your food resources. When you can't go nowhere when they start crashing airplanes. How are you going to be able to travel to different dimensions if the New World Order is making everybody sit still or go into debt slavery? Deuteronomy 7, 15 through 18. And Yahuwah will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Mitzrayim, which you know, upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. And you shall consume all the people which Yahuwah Elohaka shall deliver you. Your eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall you serve their Elohim, for that will be a snare unto you. If you shall say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what Yahuwah Elohaka did unto Pharaoh and to all of Mitzrayim. And you know that's double when you understand Deuteronomy 28:68. That means whatever befell Mitzrayim will befall America. I don't care who's president, what politician does this and does that. It's coming. It don't matter these nations are more than us. It does not matter with how they serve their gods. We ought not to do it. One other my favorite parts of scripture is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 9. For whom Yahuwah loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, Elohim deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjugation or subjection unto the father of the Ruach and live? How many people in religions are subjugated to the Most High, to Yahuwah our Creator? Not many. They're subjugated to a doctrine given to them that makes them feel good in their flesh and their Ruach to participate in this world and try to participate in Scripture. And there's a reason why they're not getting corrected. They are the example. And some of you need to be ecstatic that if you are of another nation outside of Yashareel and you are feeling chastisement, if you're feeling scourges, if you're feeling correction, you are in great company, because he is not dealing with everybody. Some people he's going to deal with at the last is to show them how high-minded and haughty they are. Another book in Hebrews was chapter 46, 3-5. Hearken unto me, O house of Yaakov, and all the remnant of the house of Yashareel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry you and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am El, and there is none else. I am Elohim, and there is none like me. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my Yeshua shall not tarry. And I will place Yeshua in Zion for Yashareel, my glory. It's just as simple as that. The promises are beautiful. The walk is hard. The walk is rigorous. The walk comes with so many afflictions and frustrations. I understand it. Trust me, I'm going through it now. I think the best thing for me is to do this episode while I'm going for it, so my mind don't start wandering. I can't have myself be idle. Because that's what they want. That's what demons want. When they know your plans, when they know your blessings, when they hear the talk of the heavenly angels of what the Most High may or trying to save you from or bless you with, they hear those things. If you read the Testament of Solomon, they talk about the demons flying about amongst the sky and amongst the stars, listening to the powers and the conversations of the heavenly beings. You think watchers are not watching us still? You think the angels that were down here, trapped down here, are not paying attention? You think they don't know what's going on? We don't see it. And we forget that there's so much going on around us that we don't see behind that veil. You ever look at grass when the wind blows upon the grass? How it moves as if it's a spirit? And if you read the book of Enoch, the book of Jasher, it's Ruach that governs the wind. It's Ruach that governs the cloud. It's a Ruach or a chariot that governs the orbs of light, the sun and the moon. It's Ruach behind the thunder. It's Ruach behind the lightning. Everything has a spirit to it. So understand that deeper than that, that there are angels that watch us, that listen to exactly what the Most High has planned for us. When they are told, like, look, this is going to happen to him on this such and such day, make sure you watch him. Make sure if he needs to move from the left to the right. All this is going on in front of us. So we are frustrated and we feel scourged and we feel afflicted. We need to start thinking upon the things that are coming after the affliction. Small tests of faith are necessary to prove us when we get to the big test. We truly need to think about that. We will be tested. We will be afflicted. We will be scourged. We will be shamed. We will be punished, maybe not by Yahuwah, but we may be punished by man for being exactly who we are supposed to be, walking exactly how we're supposed to walk. To make sure you don't buckle or fall, we need to have a couple of tests in our Ruach to prove us that we will not sway from the right to the left, that we will not have Yahuwah lift up his mighty right hand and exact judgment on us, or use the righteous to slay us. We can't go backwards. We can only fall forwards. But it comes with leaving this world alone. I know some of you are really young in this understanding, and it really hasn't hit you yet of what this walk is supposed to be, because it comes with maturity. It comes with learning the world around you, and it comes with time. But it will come a day that judgment and how this world is coming together or coming apart, it won't matter what age you are. It won't matter if you're ready or not. You have to pray to the Father that He gives you enough long suffering and grace to gather yourself. There's a difference between a pop quiz and then a midterm final. A pop quiz is something you already been prepared. You've been doing test after test after test, being in the word, being in the walk. A midterm final means you dashing in and out of this world. And a midterm final will catch you because you have not prepared yourself through different variations of pop quizzes and tests to prepare for the big one. For us, the big one won't make no difference because we're always tested. We're always having our faith pushed to the limits. And some of you have not been pushed to the limit yet because you're playing around. But other things that's going on in this world are hilarious. I really wanted to touch on the whole Iranian president, if you wanted to know why that happened. The anniversary of Kobe Bryant was January 26th. It was 3 months and 3 weeks to when the Iranian president died in a helicopter crash. It was the same circumstances. Fog was to blame. So I don't know if Kobe Bryant is still alive or they just killed him somewhere else and just said, oh, it was a helicopter crash, or they killed the Iranian president somewhere else and just said it was a helicopter crash. You haven't seen bodies. You don't see anything. You just see a poor crash site. No explosion, no nothing, just a poor crash site to me. And then someone asked in the questions after each episode about the New Testament being banned in Canada. They could ban the whole New Testament, but I would still have Ezra and Baruch. I would still know what was going on or what's going to come. If they banned the New Testament, Christians would fall apart. They would literally leave the faith or leave religion and go into the Luciferian religion because they won't read the Old Testament. They will have no understanding of the Old Testament because there's nothing that can be translated in the Old Testament from the New Testament that will make it seem that it's about Christianity. That would be the issue with them. So if they ever ban the New Testament, you know that the Luciferianism is coming right behind them to dispel the fact that Christians shouldn't be in Christianity and that they should accept Luciferianism or accept Freemasonry or Satanism. That's, it seemed to me, a great trap because Christians don't read nothing but the New Testament. Taking that away from them, what would they lean on? They would just be learning about our history. They would just come to the knowledge and understanding that it's not about Christians. They wouldn't have no argument to stand on. They wouldn't be able to use Paul. While I will be able to use the Apocrypha, Ezra, Baruch, Jubilees, Jasher. I just need to start saying the English versions of stuff, start saying the Hebrew versions of stuff. But they would have nothing to stand on. That's why I keep going to war with them. Hopefully they will read the books that were taken out for understanding, but they don't want understanding. So I'm not even going to be bothered with it. I'm just going to keep telling the truth and make them go look at it. Make them go read. Which they probably still won't do. I really wanted to talk about other stuff too, but I'll save it for the next episode. Especially when I want to talk about cocaine, Nimrod, and the names of Yasharel compared to the name Israel. I just want to talk about names and what they actually mean, which I thought was pretty amusing to me when it comes to the etymology of certain names. But also, I'm going to end it on this. The patron saint of the internet. The patron saint of the internet. That already to you should be perking your ears up. Some kid named Carlo Acutis died like 2006 or something like that. They are making him a saint, which is the first millennial saint getting sainthood because he died of, I think it was leukemia or something like that. But they saying that some kids prayed on him or prayed on his name and they have gotten miracles. So that whatever they come out of that, the Roman Catholic Church is BS, but people are eating it up. So he was made a saint. He's getting ready to be a sainthood. And they had a ceremony for him May 23rd. He was born in May 1991. That's 33 years from the day of his birth, the birth year, till now when he's getting sainthood, is 33 years. So if he's going to be named the patron saint of the internet, just know they're getting ready to turn the lights off on the internet. When they make you a sainthood, you have your own feast day. So I would pay attention to that because it would make sense to me, since they are knowing that they can't do anything against the truth. They haven't deleted any of the truthers out there that are exposing the system. When it gets too much for them, when no one's going along with the programming anymore, it will happen. They'll turn the internet off and have people wandering around in the dark trying to find out what's going on, just so they can do what they're about to do. And I think they're going to use this boy and his sainthood to accomplish it. Just because he created a couple of websites to follow miracles, and they're going to call him the patron saint of the internet? Come on. I hope we are all a little bit more smarter than that. But that's my word for the day. I know it's short, but that's my word for the day. I was feeling on fire. I feel like I needed to talk and get this episode out because I'm being tested. I'm being tried. And it's always over something stupid and small, something that I think that should already work itself out if you are in the Ruach, if you are ready to come out of this world, if you are truly ready to be loyal and obedient to the Most High. I shouldn't be tested in this way, but I'm tested and afflicted in this way. So I have to deal with it, and trying to deal with it how Yahushua would deal with it is the struggle of all struggles. I know some of you are dealing with this in your relationships or your friendships and your family, of trying to be patient and explaining to them how this walk is supposed to go. And no matter how many scriptures you put in front of them, it's like they have to see it or don't see it. It's on them. That's the frustrating part. Like, you can't make someone's ruach change when they see scriptures that talks about the thing that they should come out of. It's not really on us. We go to the Father or go to the Son to intercede on us on our behalf and be hopeful that things will work itself out. So if you're going through afflictions or you feel like you're not being close enough to the Father, try to get the Son to intercede. If you don't feel like you feel the warmth of the Father, go to the Son and have the Son fight for you. Have the Son intercede on your behalf. I mean, this ain't the days of Enoch, and we ain't the angels where they asked Enoch to intercede for them. And the Most High told him, like, look, I know what they came up here to ask you. Just like children, when you're in trouble, you send your sibling. Like, can you tell mom and dad, can I go over here real quick? It's the same thing. When the angels tried to get Enoch to intercede for them, and Yah told him, like, look, I know why you're coming over here. You could tell them this. You ain't ever going to come back up here. You know, we're not them. So it's okay to go to the Son if you feel you're not being close enough to the Father. I'll see y'all next week.